This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu and you're listening to Her Vantage, and this is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. With me today is Paula De Silva, Executive VP of Partners and Alliance for City Access, a B2B startup helping retailers with an end-to-end retail omnichannel solution. City Access also just opened 6 Southeast Asian offices with Kuala Lumpur as being one of them. Now, Paula, you have more than 14 years experience in the retail industry. And of course, you started in 2006 with City Access. But a little bit about yourself before you joined, and you know, and maybe we can get into what has happened in the last 14 years.
Yes, absolutely. Firstly, I want to start by thank you for allowing this opportunity to chat to you today. So certainly prior to entering the journey of the retail industry, I was always in the IT world, okay? So if we go way, way, way back, you know, fresh from university and so forth, I actually started my career as an accountant. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with being an accountant. Certainly it gave me an enormous wealth of knowledge to understand business process. But from accounting, I then moved into the IT world where implementations of ERP software, so financial systems and so forth, was hugely popular and managed by accounting firms. So I stepped into that world working for various different accounting firms and then moved into working for specific IT companies implementing systems. Where, and then just prior to joining City Access, I was actually fortunate enough to work for Microsoft. So always involved in working in the IT industry, but now more specifically focused on an industry as such with City Access, where our core focus as an organization is certainly retail.
What intrigued you to join City Access?
Well, when we first started and I was approached by City Access to join their organization, I mean, yes, I was working for a very well-known established global brand, Microsoft, and City Access came to me with their idea about, you know, starting up business. Okay, and they positioned to me the opportunity to set up their Asia Pacific office. Okay, and for, you know, it was a startup, okay, at the time. And then for me as an individual, I love that idea. The idea of building nothing into something, and that's what appealed to me. It wasn't so much the fact that the organization was going to build a business around, you know, a retail industry. It was just the fact that it was a startup. So, and that's what intrigued me. So I was able to influence its future direction and so forth. Yes, make mistakes along the way, figure it all out. What an enormous opportunity to build it.
So. Right. And interesting times to be in it because the retail industry has changed so much. What have you seen evolve in the retail industry, I guess, and also City Access changing with it?
Initially, when City Access opened its doors to business, to the public, we did so like a big bang approach. We were global instantly overnight. But we weren't necessarily, as an organization, entirely focused on retail at the beginning. We began our journey in business aligned with the ERP giant SAP.
Right.
Okay. And we were a solution partner for SAP, where we focused on extending functionality to their SME product, SAP Business One. Okay. Then through that journey and that relationship, we saw an opportunity in retail, still aligned with the SAP brand. We I'm going to use the word dabbled and started to develop a point of sale solution. Now, back in those days, that's what was the focus, point of sale. Okay. Serve the customer at the store, as simple as that. Nothing more complicated. However, the retail industry has evolved simply because of, well, one, technology.
Right.
Okay. So then came the emergence of the internet. Okay. And retailers started to explore the opportunity of making their product available online. So then they have this situation where they have point of sale in a brick and mortar store. They have an online store. Okay, so they've gone from single channel to a concept called multi-channel. And now today we're all talking about omni-channel. Okay, and many retailers still to this day go, well, what's omnichannel, right? And that's what's happened in the retail industry. So now we have the, you know, the multi-channel to the omnichannel disparate systems, and now the focus is how do we bring this all together? And that's the evolution of the disruption in the retail industry.
Right. And how is multi-channel different from omnichannel? Educate me.
Multi-channel is simply the means to make your product available through different avenues.
Right.
Keeping a very simplistic approach, I have my point of sale at the brick and mortar store. That's one channel. I have my e-commerce online store. That's another channel. But they may not necessarily talk to each other. Then when you bring upon omni-channel, the idea is bring them all together. So when a customer goes online to purchase product, they should be recognized as that customer that bought product online as the same customer that walked into their brick and mortar store and bought item in a store.
Right.
Okay, so the two need to talk to each other, recognize the customer as one, recognize stock as one, come from a single source. So that whole single view of inventory concept. And that's where the focus is for the retail industry today, because it's the consumer that's leading this disruption.
Right.
Retailers need to respond to what consumers want.
So we know your behavior when you're offline. We know your behavior when you're online. Because, I mean, I get a good example of this was me turning up in Uniqlo and them insisting on me, can you download the app so you get a discount? And I said, no, I don't want to. So, no, download the app so that you'll get a discount. Ah, I see. They were just trying to get me involved in every step of the way. Okay, now, you, when you look at the retail industry in Southeast Asia, that's changing. What are you seeing here? Because it's also different levels of maturity within the region itself.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, okay, specifically in Southeast Asia, what we're now starting to see is retailers actually take the concept of omnichannel seriously. Up until this point, they've sort of been sitting back, watching, seeing how other regions are changing their businesses because of the disruption. But, you know, I guess they were quite cautious, maybe even a little scared, didn't know where necessarily to even begin. So now what we're seeing as we continue to attend these retail industry events is it is almost like a hot topic here in Southeast Asia. But the change is also driven about economic changes in the various countries across the region. So we're seeing that the working class is getting bigger, there's larger disposable incomes, there's ongoing investment in shopping malls.
Right.
And what that does is obviously people have got more money to spend, but international retail brands are now entering the region. Now, when international brands enter the region, what that poses for local retailers is competition. Okay, so they have to sit up and take notice about, well, how are they doing business? What makes them so special? Because at the end of the day, a consumer isn't going to necessarily be loyal to a brand. Okay, the moment that that particular brand disrupts their purchase pattern, whether it be they have a bad experience in a store or the retailer made it very difficult to return an item. It's very easy for that consumer to go to the competition. Very simple, because there's so much choice. Okay. So now all retailers, local, are having to take note. Okay, what do I do to ensure that I understand my customer? How do I keep them loyal? And they have to embrace technology to help them do that, because you cannot do it without it.
With the solutions that you offer, what do you say to, I guess, the smaller companies that say, I can't afford it? Because I'm listening and I'm assuming it's a bigger retailer that would use your services.
Our particular solution is best suited for what we call the mid-market to the large enterprise. However, there are solutions out there for the small retailer. And when I say small retailer, I'm talking about a single store, two stores. Yeah, certainly, obviously, they wouldn't have the budgets or even the need or the complexity in their business to invest in a solution like iVend Retail. But there are solutions for all segments in the market. And from an affordability perspective, at the end of the day, a retailer doesn't need to throw everything out that they've invested quite significantly over time. They approach it and should approach it in phases. Okay, so it doesn't have to be that overwhelming experience that a lot of retailers, you know, fear today. do it in phases. It could begin with, okay, let's replace the point of sale because the point of sale hasn't kept up with the momentum in the retail industry. And then the next phase of the project might be, okay, all right, let's understand what's happening online. What do we need to do to ensure that the two are talking? And really, at the end of the day, to make it or simplify it for a retailer, they need to look at what's called a digital store platform. Mm. It's a single platform that manages all the front-end operations for a retail business.
Right.
Okay, so then when, and again, once they invest in that single platform and they go through their phases, they start with point of sale and then they progress through to the e-commerce, to the loyalty and all the other great things that create that customer experience.
Okay, so start small and then evolve from there. I'm here speaking to Paula De Silva from City Access. We'll continue our conversation after this. Herb Adage, BFM 89.9.
Brewing frothy mocha. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to Her Vantage. Good morning. This is Frida Liu. I'm speaking to Paula De Silva, Executive VP of Partners and Alliance for City Access. And we're, of course, Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. Now, most recently, Goldman Sachs has invested in City Access. You know, what was the reason for that?
Firstly, I want to say how excited we are at City Access for this opportunity to partner with Goldman Sachs. Mm. So this is a recent investment in our company. It forms part of what we call Series C of investments. Mm-hmm. Goldman Sachs recently invested $60 million into our business. Mm. And in total over the last few years, that equates now to about $105 million in investment in our company. What this partnership with Goldman Sachs means to our organization is that we can now move into the next phase of our expansion as a company to potentially acquire what we call complementary solutions and continue to expand our solution offering. Our focus now is to create a solution for retailers where I would describe it as a one-stop shop. Mm. Retailers want to focus on their business. They don't necessarily understand technology, nor do they necessarily have the investment to hire individuals to maintain that technology platform. So what we're looking to do is to make investments more in the infrastructure and managed services side and add that to our existing offerings. So what that means for a retailer is, you know what, I don't need to think about this. Mm. I'm going to hand this over to City Access through the partner channel, adopt the IVN Retail Digital Store platform. They're going to take care of absolutely everything for me. We want to make it easier for the retailer.
When you look at what's happening in the retail industry, trends is happening in the, you know, I guess in US and Europe, and you see them coming here. For example, one of which is a lot of shopping malls are closing in the US. Mm. And interestingly, Amazon have used these shopping malls as warehouses now. Mm. One of the stories. Do you see this sort of thing happening in this part of the world?
I don't see it happening so much in this part of the world. Okay. Certainly that is the doom and gloom that media is portraying to everyone out there. But it is happening. That is the reality. Mm. Okay. And retailers stop and evaluate. Mm. Is it still worth implementing in my brick and mortar store? Mm. But when a retailer gets serious about evaluating their business and formulating their expansion plans, when they look at the numbers, they still derive the majority of their revenue from a brick and mortar store.
Mm. Right. Okay.
I mean, yes, online shopping is popular because it's convenient. People are time poor. Mm. Okay. But I don't think that we are ever going to replace one for the other.
Right.
I don't think anything's going to take away from that whole social aspect of spending an afternoon in a shopping mall, okay, with friends, family, walking into your favorite retail store, touching, feeling the product that you wish to purchase.
Mm.
Okay. But, you know, when you're short on time and you need, I'm going to use the example of that outfit for that event, and you had no time because you were super busy that week, you're going to go for online shopping.
Right.
Where the problem is, is where perhaps retailers haven't got those connected environments. So, for example, if I need that dress for that event and I'm short on time, I want to know if I can go online, view the visibility of stock, find out exactly where that dress is in my size that fits my taste is, and I might not have time for that product to be delivered to me.
Mm.
I need it now.
Right.
But I don't have time to go browsing through all the stores in a shopping mall.
Right.
So the advantage of this visibility in that connected environment is that, okay, I know that my outfit is at that particular store. I'm going to quickly jump in my car. I'm going to run over there and I'm going to buy it.
Mm.
But also that flexibility of even buying that dress already online, it's mine, and I'm going to go pick it up in store.
Mm.
That's powerful.
Right.
Okay, so much flexibility.
Sounds like a situation I've been in.
Yes. So, and that's where we believe that those unfortunate retailers that have had to close down stores haven't embraced this movement.
Right.
Look at Amazon. Okay, Amazon is feared by so many retailers. But why is that? Why does the consumer prefer to buy from Amazon?
Mm.
They make it easy.
Right.
Mm. Flexibility with delivery, low-cost delivery, they just make it easy.
Mm.
And I think what's happening as we move into the future in 2020 and beyond, the whole idea of going to a brick-and-mortar store will be more for the retailer to show off their item, a concept store, making an experience as opposed to going into stores just purely to buy product.
Right. A little bit about yourself, you know, being in this role or being in the space of 14 years and leading it with City Access and leading a team as well. You know, what would your leadership style be like? And, you know, was it like trying to find talent to join this industry?
I would describe my management style. Well, that's an interesting one. So often my colleagues say, you know what, I actually enjoy working with you. And why might that be? Well, when I work with my team, I don't keep in mind in my conversations that I'm their manager.
Mm.
They're people at the end of the day.
Mm.
So I allow them the opportunity to voice their opinions. In fact, when we go about strategizing and doing things differently, moving into a new year, in fact, we're doing that right now, I seek feedback from my team. I'm certainly not a micromanager. It's not about, you know, I often hear the description or the analogy being a CCTV watching over my team and watching their every move. That's not what I do.
Yeah.
So I encourage my team members to contribute to the outcome, to feel comfortable, to speak to me, to voice their concerns. And as soon as we break down that barrier that, yes, I'm this EVP and whatnot, we get so much more out of the team. Everyone's comfortable to be themselves and contribute to that end goal. Mm. So I just, to sum it up, I encourage them to be themselves.
How large is City Access now in terms of number of employees on a global scale?
We are on a global scale. We've got now 22 offices, and sometimes it's hard to
22
keep
offices.
Up,
all right,
keep up with the number of people. I'd say we're around the 220 mark at the moment,
right.
But we are continuing to expand, going to markets that we don't exist.
Mm.
So we're still exploring, monitoring economic data, seeing where retail is strong.
Mm.
And, I would see certainly in 2020 that we look to open up more offices.
What kind of experts are you looking for? What kind of industry specialists would you be looking for to join this industry? Do they exist yet?
It depends what country and region we're talking about. Certainly that is a challenge, will always be a challenge to find the right talent and expertise. When we go about searching for that appropriate person to join the team, firstly we look for that retail industry experience because, as we've mentioned and we've talked about so far today, you know, there's so much disruption happening. So that knowledge is king. It's key. It's powerful. But it doesn't necessarily exist.
Mm.
So then we will look for resources that have an IT background, understand business process. But honestly, you know, when I'm speaking to an individual, they may not necessarily tick all those boxes in terms of industry experience and so forth. I look at their attitude.
Mm.
Okay.
Right.
Are they a people's person? Are my customers and partners going to feel comfortable working with them? Because at the end of the day, consumers or our partners are going to do business with people they feel comfortable and like and trust. Obviously, they have to come with some element of experience of the industry. But if you can't have a conversation with them, it's just not going to work. Okay? There's just no time to put up with individuals that are going to get caught up in, I don't know, politics and stirring up trouble where it doesn't belong. So their attitude is so important.
So if you were to give advice right now to a retailer, one a small one, one or two outlets, and then, of course, the larger ones, what would your advice be, or, you know, what should they be thinking about moving forward?
Not to be afraid of technology.
Okay.
Technology is their friend. They shouldn't ignore it. They have to do something. If they haven't already started planning their investment in embracing an omnichannel solution, they have to get onto it right away. And when they start doing their due diligence in the marketplace, look for a solution that is a platform. Okay. So then that way that they have a connected environment, they're able to understand their customer, and they don't have disparate systems where they're having to keep track of things manually.
All right. Thanks for being with us. I've been speaking to Paula Da Silva from City Access. You've been listening to Her Vantage, the FM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.